Looks like we're going early here today. I have no idea why that happened. So, I'm going to stick in a song here if I can find one, because I don't think you want to listen to me and the city council members for 5 minutes longer than you want to, when we're supposed to be listening to. So let's give this a try. This is Conway Twitty, one of my all-time favorite songs, The Rose.
Some say love, it is a river, and that it drowns the tender reed. And some say love, it's like a razor, and that it leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, it's only seed. Learns to dance. It's the dream, afraid of waking, that never takes the chance. It's the give, and the soul afraid of dying, that never learns to
Minnesota on the Mighty 920 KDHL.
Good morning. It's time for the market update on this Wednesday morning here on the Linder Farm Network. And joining us, Ross Nadwick, Van On & Company, Alexandria. Well, Ross, today looking at lower corn, soybeans, and wheat. Why the pressure today?
Largely, we've just priced in a lot of what we have for bullish information across the board here in a number of these commodities. So corn currently down about 5 cents. It's just giving back what we gained yesterday. And by and large, you know, the positive news we had in corn had nothing to do with last week's Friday's report. It had to do with the export inspections and knowing that we're running well ahead of pace right now in corn. So to keep this market rally going, we're going to need to see those exports continue to be really hot here and the crush continue to move as well. with that said, I mean, technically in these markets, both corn and soybeans, we are into some price counts as well, or we're into some price counts. So to see a little bit of relaxation in the futures board at this point is not a surprise. Soybeans, same thing. We had that positive news on Monday again with a really strong crush that kind of surprised the market. And then we finally are starting to see some private exports with another private sale, 330,000 metric ton of beans delivered to China, or price for delivery for China, coming in this morning. So that's, again, supportive, but it's also information that's already been traded or priced into the market largely before this week even began. So it's kind of the buy the rumor, sell it back type situation. And then wheat complex, we are seeing more and more moisture building into the winter wheat area, and that could limit our upside potential there as well.
Live cattle lower today, but lean hogs higher. What's happening there?
Well, we do have a cattle and feed report coming Friday. So that should be a little bit supportive again. They're looking for placements to be around that 92%. But the issue with live cattle here is we've had such a long bull run. We need to clean things up here a little bit to get the money that wants to be moving to the sidelines here again so we can start this activity all over again. The market's also a little bit at risk all the time of whether tariffs do get lift further on Brazil beef, which is the primary focus here. Well, earlier in the week, we did see 10% tariff lift on other countries and did open up some better potential for beef imports from that. So currently we have box beef that's a little firmer this week. I was mixed yesterday, choice up a little bit. And then we have the cash trade, which looked a little bit firmer, too, on very light volume here to start the week. Now, if the futures board down here today, feedlots are not going to have the upper hand. So there again, we'll have to be a little patient here, see what the cattle and feed report gives us by the end of the week.
Ross Nadwick, Van Auten Company, Alexandria. Chicago December corn now at 431 and a half, down 5 1/4. March is at 444 and a quarter, down 5 1/4. In July, 457 and a quarter, down 4 1/2. January beans, 1143 and 3/4, down 9 3/4. In March, 1151 and 3/4, down 8 1/2. Live cattle, December down 260. Feeder cattle, November up 255. January down 150. December lean hogs up 145. February up 207. The Dow up 63. This is the Linder Farm Network.
International Ag Labs wants to boost your soil's productivity with Z-Hume. Recognized for its powerful residue decomposing abilities, Z-Hume uses bacteria to accelerate humus formation, storing nitrogen and minerals for steady plant growth. It also reestablishes microbial activity when applied with starter fertilizer and can even be used in pig pits to help break solids down, improve fly control, and enhance manure quality. Don't forget to ask International Ag Labs about their specialized garden blends, where you can create your own fertilizer mix. Visit aglabs.com for more info. Trust Z-Hume for healthier soil and more productive crops.
Hi, I'm Dan Lemke from the Linder Farm Network, and I'm inviting you on a holiday vacations tour. Explore the majestic fjords of Norway, August 7th to the 15th. Discover Norway's unique culture and dramatic landscapes, including a guided tour of Oslo, two ferry rides through stunning fjords, and panoramic views atop Mount Floyen. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Linder, to request a brochure, watch a travel show, and to book this tour.
And
it is time now for our AM Minnesota program. Sorry to make you have to wait here for that, but we are sitting in the KDHL studios in downtown Faribault with Chuck Thiel and Peter Van Sluis. Peter and Chuck are members of the Faribault City Council. Of course, we talked to the mayor yesterday a little bit about the KGP move, and we'll talk about that with these gentlemen, too. But first, I wanted to get your take on the Viaduct Park. They had the grand opening last week. I missed the grand opening, but when it was over, it was better. I got to go there and take some nice pictures, and wow, that's a gorgeous facility, Chuck.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Gordy. It really is a beautiful facility. If you have not been down there, you've got to go, because the architecture, the stone, the splash pad is cool. The warming room is going to be really great once we get that ice feature rolling.
I love the fire pit.
Oh, the fire pit's so great, and we couldn't have done it without all the great sponsors. I'm not going to remember them all, so I'm not going to try and say them all.
Right,
but it's been absolutely fabulous, and when our friend at the city who's going to run the park, her name is Mo, I guess is her nickname. She started listing all of the all the events and the everything that they're going to do down there. They're going to be so busy. There's going to be yoga. There's coffee. There's cards. There's
children's games.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, you know, we were waiting for the summer to start or when the ice rink was finished. But, you know, there's programming going on. Actually, 2 days after the opening, I took my wife there, and I was kind of disappointed it was closed. I was going to get some coffee. But, you know, technically, they're still in construction because we had a grand opening, but they're running a little bit late. And it was busy, the grand opening.
There was, I'm bad at this, but there was 250 people there, maybe?
Yeah.
It was packed.
And if you don't know the sponsors, you know, there are so many of them, but they're all listed. So the fire pit says it was donated by the Crooked Pines, and the splash pad was sponsored by, and there's a sign, there's Rotary. Signs everywhere.
Yeah. Rotary.
Yeah. Rotary, yeah.
The gathering room by the State Bank of Faribault.
So since the city officially could not solicit donations, you know, there's it's all in the law. So what we did was we partnered with the Faribault Foundation, and they were the ones kind of lobbying for us because, you know, it costs money, you know, but we didn't want to just burden the taxpayers with this. Although when we started this project a number of years ago, right, so the idea was to have a regional attraction where people from outside Faribault come to see it. So we had this task force that included a number of people from the community. We had people from the school. We had people from the community. We asked several minorities to come specifically. And then we sat down and said, what do you want? And we ended up with 36 features. And we looked at the price and we go, okay, that's we can't burden anybody with that. So we whittled it down to 6 features. So, you know, the ice arena, splash pad, the warming house, the skate rental, and there's a couple other, there's swings outside, you know, things like that. So we came with those. And then
you got shade structures, I know.
Yeah, shade structures and things. And then we found out that we wanted that skating ribbon, you know, like a kind of a loop, and found out that technically that is much more expensive to build than just a slab of ice. So we kind of put it on hold, and we went to look into it again. And now the plan is to put, 3/4 size slab?
Yep.
And with a roof over it, an open roof, you know, so... And then that would be, the ice could be frozen. So, you know, there's going to be a little Zamboni, a pool behind Zamboni. And so we can extend the season, you know, with the roof and the freezing, we can have a much longer season. And in the summer, we can use it for skating or, you know, farmers markets and things like that, art shows.
Yeah, we could have concerts down there. Somebody could have their wedding down there or something. It's going to be a really great space.
Yeah, and I know that the Winterfest, most of the activities are going to happen down there.
Are they transitioning down there? This is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah. So the Christmas trees, they're going
to
go
there. The trees that used to be in Central Park are going into Viaduct.
There's, I called yesterday, I was number 68 or 69. They're going to go to 100 trees this year. So because I said, well, there's plenty of room. I said, no, we're moving it to the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that would be really, really nice. And then we have the winter parade, and I'm not sure if you saw the announcement for that.
Well, we had him on the air talking about it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So first of all, no parking on Central Avenue because
Chief of Police told us that last Friday.
You were in the parade, weren't you, last time or did you?
No, I was Grand Marshal the second year.
The second year, but you see what happens is there's the cars and then the people, and it gets narrower and narrower, and these kids, you know, they all come very close because they want the candies.
No, it's dangerous.
Yeah. And we're going from the other direction. We're going from north to south this time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how that would work, where we're going to end up in, probably in Viaduct Park then, right?
Well, that'd probably be the end because that's where the fireworks are going to be shot off.
Right. And then if you do it from the park, or if you gather the people at the park, you know, the buildings will not block the view. So.
All right, I got to go back to something, guys. That we kind of glossed.
You want
to
talk about the lit viaduct now?
No, we glossed over this Christmas tree thing. This Christmas tree thing started,
COVID.
Excuse me, just a couple years ago.
COVID started.
Yeah. And it has absolutely blown up to a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Started with 20 trees.
Yeah, now it's 100.
We had 75 last year. Yeah, that, now we limited to 100. So
that is just wild.
And so for people that may not know the whole thing.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, we businesses and organizations donate the tree. And, of course, they get their little name in front of it. So it's a little, what do you call it, advertisement for their organization as well. Yeah. And the trees are there from December 1st through December 9th, I believe. And then they're going to be given to needy families. Mm-hmm. So that is just a nice thing to do.
What a great one.
It's what the holidays should be all about.
Yeah, and this was started by Paul Pineski at the time, I believe, and Kevin from the Parks and Rec.
Oh, did they start it? Yeah,
they're the
great
ones who kind of started it, and now, they're still continuing that.
Good. No, I think they just kind of brainstormed during COVID and what they could do and came up with this idea, and it was so popular. It's just, like you said, ballooned.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's very cool. So, Viaduct Park is going to be used a lot, sounds like.
Yeah. Did you mention something about lighting up the bridge? The viaduct?
Yeah, you guys are going to light up the bridge eventually.
Well, so the idea was this, that a couple of years ago when the water tower was constructed, we had talked about lighting it up. And it was, no, lighting up the water tower. And we looked at the price for that, and it was just way too much. And then one day a guy drove by who has a lighting company, and he came to the city and says, you know, I don't mind, you know, putting a bid in a really good price, because he also wanted his advertisement on there, right? And fortunately, the water tower came down below budget, so we had some extra money. And then he said, well, I also can light up the viaduct. And he came with a quote for that. And we put it on hold at the time, right?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody, excuse me, at the ribbon cutting the other day. And I can't remember what happened, because I thought we had a bid on it. And
so you're not going to light up the viaduct?
Well, I think the plan is still to do that. But again, you know, what do you want? Do you want to pay more taxes and have a lit up viaduct, or you want to kind of, you know, we have to kind of
Peter Van Sluice to pay for the lights on the viaduct. There's your advertise.
Well, and that, yeah, so that is what you could do. So-and-so organization. KDHL Radio, sponsored by KDHL Radio, you know. So that is the idea. And, yeah, we can actually ask it again in a work session, say whatever happened to that idea.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know the FAA. There must be some rules about that Lytton water tower, because we're governed by the FAA on our radio towers.
Right. Lights. Well, I think the blinking light on the top is the big thing. Now, the one thing about the water tower, you know, there's different colors for different events and different remembrance days and stuff. So I said for the Rice County Fair.
Who determines that, by the way?
Well, if you can do it for your birthday, because then everybody does it. But
no, I understand. But who determines what color is in what time and all that stuff?
You send it in to Brad, at the communication director at the city.
Okay.
And you request it.
There's a form online. You can go on our website and fill out the form and ask to have your organization or whatever.
Explain why you
color
want
in there. Yep.
So like two weeks ago, we had spina bifida day, and we have one of our bus drivers, her son has spina bifida, and she said, well, how do I do that? So I said, well, you go to, you know, the city and fill it out. So they lit it up for that. But now so what you say about distraction and stuff, I asked if we could do for the fair red, white, and blue, and twirl it around, you know, like a merry-go-round. And they said we can't do that, because once that happens, the people that drive by get distracted, or they pull over and they want to film it, you know. So we have to keep it like a solid or a steady colors. So
no interchanging, no wraparound, no sparkles, nothing.
No, that would have been really cool. But again, that distracts the drivers, you know. I tell you, the first time they turned the lights on, just for testing, there were several people that pulled over and decided to road and started filming.
Oh, I believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. People are kind of strange. And I include myself in that, right? But I would not pull over and take a picture of a lit water tower.
But there is some really cool footage, you know, if you go to YouTube and you look for Faribault Water Tower. There's actually a really cool one about the construction of it, and there are some flyovers, you know, and really nice videos.
Oh, I think it's a great landmark.
Yeah, it is.
And good publicity for the city of Faribault, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
People that drive the interstate on a daily basis are very well aware of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the town with a lit water tower.
Right. Yeah.
The city of Faribault. So anyway, we got Viaduct Park out of the way. So KGP, which is a telecommunications company on the west side of Faribault, wants to move downtown. And there was talk about them moving to another state, right? Do I get this right, Chuck?
Yeah, talk about another state. Talk about moving north 35 miles or
right.
so. They've had a lot of people reach out to them wanting to have them.
Sure, of course. Why wouldn't you?
It's right. a big taxing company for
very
a city.
Very successful company.
Yeah.
Born right here in Faribault.
Exactly. I think they have 72 or so jobs now, or 65, I think. And it's going to get up to 86 is what we heard the other night. And to have 86 jobs go to a different city, that would be really bad for Faribault. So we wanted to do what we could to keep them. And Dave Womberg and his team have been working extremely hard to do that. And we did it. So they're staying, and they're coming right downtown. So in a few years, when this building is erected, there's going to be 86 people that come downtown, and they go shopping, and they have lunch at Crown Plaza or El Jefe or the Depot, and it's just money that's just going to stay right here in Faribault and be circulated to Faribault families. So I'm very excited, and it's actually part of our Vision 2040 that we did quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
But to have a monument, anchor business in the downtown, and we're doing it. So
yeah. Don't forget the Vision 2040 and the Viaduct Park and the community center. Everything gets put together with input from the community. We do ask the community to come, you know, and right now there's a campaign to have more people involved with boards and commissions.
Yeah, you did have a survey on it, yeah.
Right. So we did ask people for the Vision 2040, and one of them was to get an anchor business just for the purpose of what Chuck said, bring a lot of people downtown. First of all, it's a tax base. Secondly, they're going to spend their money in town, you know, and not every 86 people will walk to all the restaurants every single day, but you bring a lot of traffic to it. And they're going to actually start. So we just passed all the the TIF district and the parking lot rules and everything this week. So that means that they're going to start construction next week, and the building is supposed to be done next year October. So you said a few years, but it's going to be in October.
Oh wow, they're really putting it up fast.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the fact that they start building within 4 or 5 days after we approve everything. So they were ready to go, but we just had to go through the official steps and official approval.
Okay, there's a package involved here, right? There's some tax breaks.
There's tax breaks, yeah.
And it was necessary in order to keep them here.
Yeah. So, you know, that we do that a lot. You know, if a business or... So this is... There's actually two organizations involved for this. One is a company that will build the building and then will lease it to KGP. So there's the renters and the owner of the building. So those are the two that were involved in this.
So who owns the building?
Rebound Partners.
Rebound Partners. Yeah, they own a lot of downtown buildings as well. They have done quite a bit of good for the downtown.
Are we talking Faribault downtown building?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Rebound is the one that worked on those 13 dilapidated buildings and have fixed them up, put new roofs on, put new apartments in there, etc. So, yep. So we had to give them tax breaks because, you know, it is very difficult, you know, in the economy to build something. Sometimes it just doesn't make financial sense to build something. But if you give them a TIF district, a tax break that goes over 10 years, right?
It's 10 years, yeah.
Then and for the county, it's 6 years.
Yes, that's correct.
So let me ask you this. Is the current building outdated? Is that why they wanted to move?
I'm not quite sure. But
that's a nice building out there on the west side of town.
They sold that building a few years ago. It was their building. They sold it to somebody else, and they're renting it back. with the intention to move somewhere else. So they looked at different buildings in the downtown here. And then eventually, you said Mark Wahlberg and his team, they probably came with this open spot. So the county is selling that. So there's actually two pieces. So between 2nd Avenue and 1st Avenue, right there. So it's behind the old law enforcement center. So there's two plots.
Just to the east of the courthouse.
Yes. So there's two pieces. The one on the corner of 1st Avenue, that part gets sold or is sold by the county to Rebound Partners.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one on the other side, by 2nd Avenue, that piece of land gets donated or just turned over to from the county to the city, and that becomes a parking lot. And the way it's working is that parking lot, the agreement we have is that during the day, so it's a public parking lot, but during the day, it's permit parking for KGP employees from 8 to 5. And after 5 o'clock, the parking lot is open to the public. And that is, so when there's something in town, the 310 or the Paradise Theater.
Or the Winterfest.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot more parking there, yeah.
Yeah, which you can't park on Central Avenue for Winterfest, so there'll be a parking lot there.
Well, not this year yet.
But there's a lot more parking downtown than there was when I was the Grand Marshal of that parade.
So. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So
I think when you mentioned they had a nice building out there, they do have a nice building out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it has a lot of pizzazz.
Okay.
And when they bring in...
So this will have pizzazz.
When they bring in people from all over the world, all over the country, they're going to be able to drive them downtown and wine and dine them down here. But the new building is really going to be beautiful.
We saw some renderings. It's brick and... What was it? Was it black matted aluminum, or was it some metal?
Black metal of some sort.
But it looks nice. I mean, so it's kind of how I see it. It's like a transition from the brick in the downtown to away from the downtown. You get more into the modern style.
Does it fit in? Because it's right across from the courthouse.
Yeah,
the courthouse is very old.
It fits in. Yeah, it's only one story too.
It's a little bit more modern looking than something historic, but it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's going to be a plus then for the downtown, you're thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else exciting happening on the horizon in terms of new businesses in Faribault that I'm maybe not aware of, that you guys might be aware of, that you could talk about, of course?
Culver's.
Yeah, we're getting to Culver's.
That's exciting.
I always when I first moved here, I said, I wonder where to franchise for Wendy, because Wendy's is my favorite fast food burger, right? So.
Yeah.
And I like Culver's Butter Burgers, but
they're good.
Wendy's is my favorite.
Well, don't forget all these franchises, they have very strict rules.
Well, we're talking six figures just to buy the franchise.
No, but not just that, but, Chipotle. Remember the thing, why doesn't Faribault have a Chipotle? Well, the population, so they're looking at certain populations, certain census of who lives there, et cetera, and that's why they decide, or there's one already close by, so... That's by corporate.
Well, now, wait a minute. You got a Culver's in Owatonna. You got a Culver's in Northfield.
But maybe their rules are different than Chipotle's.
And now you got one in Faribault.
Yeah. It all depends on the franchise. I mean, if you look at McDonald's is sometimes only three blocks apart. I mean, in some cities.
When I went to radio school, one of our instructors used to say we judge radio markets by the number of McDonald's in the town.
Now it is Starbucks, right?
And I have to tell you, I am amazed that we only have one McDonald's in Faribault.
Yeah. Well, they're busy.
Because when I worked in Ottumwa, Iowa, roughly, it was a little bigger than Faribault, but we had three McDonald's there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you say what else is new about businesses coming in? So remember Paul Swenson with his photography?
Sure.
Yeah, he came to me. He drives school bus now. He's retired. He drives school bus. I was talking. He came to me yesterday. He says, Peter, what happened to my old building? He says there is some Mexican money exchange and this and this and that. And he said, but the whole building is empty. And what is going on? Well, I said, I don't know. So we at City Council don't always hear things. Like the new laundromat on 2nd Avenue,
You knew nothing about it, huh?
Well, we hear, but since if there's a building that's empty and a new renter comes in or a building gets sold and there's
you had to approve that.
No, if there's no variances, it doesn't come to City Council. It just is a business decision that we don't have to approve anything. So we may hear about it. We may not hear about it.
Well, a gentleman did stop by here just before AM Minnesota yesterday and said, when you have the mayor on, ask him what's happening over at Lampert's. And they said, well, it's for sale.
Right. That's all we know. So right? We don't know who's coming in. So what we did have to do with Lampert's, which was interesting, Lampert's had it had multiple plots, right, or plats. And we had to replat it because the multiple plat, one of the plat lines went straight through the middle of the building.
I believe it.
Yeah, and so we had to replat it in order for the owners who were selling it to make it more conducive for the new building to be, mm-hmm. new business to
be. Is that an apartment complex that's next to the former Farmer's Elevator storage place?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, it is.
Yep.
Another apartment complex.
56 or so?
I'm not sure how many.
Well, again, so when they wanted to build that storage unit there, mm-hmm. They needed more money because it was very expensive to get that building cleaned up and everything. So in order to make everything work, they wanted to get a TIF district there, but you only could do a TIF district issue if you also built apartments. Plus, don't forget, we're still short on apartment units in town.
Which is hard to believe.
It is. But yeah. There's more going up on the south side of town.
Yeah, the third building there.
Yeah. The property that I'm most curious about, that I think about the most, is the jail annex by Perkins there. That was on a government auction site, and that has sold. I don't know when it sold, but that's the one. That's a pretty big property that
yes,
I'm very curious to know who bought that and what their plans are for it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of those things where we just don't know.
Right.
We don't
and
know.
And again, yet. If they just do standard stuff, it doesn't come to council
right.
or the planning committee for that matter.
So. Right.
Well, we've only got a couple minutes left in the show. Is there anything you want to get the word out on about Peter?
No, I think things are running smoothly. And of course, we didn't talk about taxes at all. People got their assessments in the mail. And for me personally, and I don't know about other people, but
I haven't seen mine yet.
My taxes go from $2,200 per year to $2,360.
Oh, wait a minute. I did get it. Yeah. I haven't opened it yet.
So for me personally, it was not such a terribly big increase. You know, we tried to keep it low. The school district's taxes actually went down this year.
Well, the county went up with the jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And I don't remember my full numbers, but mine went up $190 or $180.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. And then people complain about.
Well,
but if your house got evaluated higher, your taxes go up.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to get into it now. So I wish we would have talked about this sooner because it would be nice if the city, the county, and the school district could coordinate and have a target of, let's say, 10% for all three entities total. I'm just throwing out a number.
It depends what they're building and what they're doing in the future.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, let's get out of here.